We thank you for this new day. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you that we can be happy in Jesus. Thank you for your commandments, which are not a burden to us who are your children, but a delight. Thank you that we can enjoy this life as we live in obedience toward you. Oh Lord, would you be with us now and guide us? Help us to reflect upon who you are. May it change the way we live. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you have Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 3 until verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks in our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. This is the word of God. You all are probably familiar with the phrase, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. There are different ways of putting it, but basically what it means is, it's easy to say something, but it's different to do something. Many of you have probably known people like this. I remember when I was in high school, there was a guy, we were about 16 years old, and he was a notorious liar. Nothing he said was ever true. Nobody trusted him about anything. Nobody knew really who he was. He was an expert in martial arts. He knew everything about computers and motor vehicles and all these things. They just weren't true, but he claimed that they were true. Now, probably you are not like that, but you get many people who claim to believe in God or believe in God's sovereignty, but as the saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. What you really believe about God will come out during times of difficulty and hardship. And for the Apostle Paul, he was certainly no hypocrite. He suffered many, many times in this fallen world. In fact, in the same book, 2 Corinthians, is quite a well-known passage of Scripture in chapter 11, where he tells him about the sufferings that he experienced while he was an apostle. You know the passage of Scripture I'm referring to, I'm sure. He was beaten many times. He was stranded in the water. He was in trouble with his own countrymen and with rebels. He was in all kinds of trouble in this earth. So he knew what he was talking about. These are his words in verse 5 of our text. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Those are powerful words. When last did you hear somebody talking about their suffering and the comfort that they experienced from Christ? In fact, this is a point of praise. Look at verse 3. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You go down to verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Blessed be God. He's delighting in God. He's taking joy in God. Blessed be this great God who gives us comfort, for He comforted us while we were suffering. That's His response to the difficulties and hardships that He faced. The Apostle Paul had a very high view of God. You have to. You have to have a high view of God in order to have this kind of response. If you don't have a high view of God and you have an elevated view of man, you're going to whine and moan and complain. I can't believe these things happened to me. Why should they happen to me? No, he was not concerned about himself. He was concerned about the glory of God. It's abundantly clear as we continue reading. If you look at verse 6, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comforted, which you experienced when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Not only does he recognize that the suffering he experienced is a point of praise towards God, but he sees it as opportunity for ministry to others. That as he suffered and was comforted by Christ, he can help and comfort and encourage others who have also received the same comfort. And you see a great explanation of his view of God in the next verse. Look carefully at verse 7. And just think about the apostle writing to suffering people. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Some of you are in leadership. Many of you have probably being used by the Lord to lead someone to salvation. When you are discipling a young convert or discipling almost anyone, you really don't want anything bad to happen to them. I know that's true for me. I really want them to be protected. I want them to come out of any environment where they could possibly be tempted to any kind of sin. I don't want them to go through difficulties and hardships. It's like I think it's my responsibility for them to be sanctified. I know I have that great tendency, and I think many other believers, many other leaders do too. And I think the Apostle Paul did too, because later on he says, and in addition to all these things that I suffer, I have a constant concern for all the churches. But here he reveals that he believes in a sovereign God. Because if somebody is truly saved, if someone has truly encountered the resurrected Christ, been born again, having that heart transplant, that cobra heart being killed, having the heart of Jesus, as Al Baker puts it, they will endure the suffering and be comforted by Christ. Continue to look as the Apostle Paul rejoices in his afflictions. In verse 9, indeed we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That's a very common saying, is for us to say, I feel like death. Feel like death warmed up. Or you look like death. And I'm sure when we get really sick, when we experience difficulties, maybe even emotional difficulties, I just feel dead. I feel like death. His response, God raises the dead. That's an elevated view of the Lord. Paul's concern was not for himself, was not for his own glory, was for the glory of God. If you skip down to verse 11, you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. And the prayers are answered for them to be comforted, delivered from difficulties, affliction, of which there were many. Look into the context of the book. There's so many difficulties that he and even the Corinthians were suffering. When the prayers are answered, God is glorified. When the prayers are answered, God is glorified. How do we get this kind of elevated view of God? How can we cultivate in our minds this lofty view of God that will really change our actions? Well, the obvious is first we need to be saved, because if we are not saved by God, we'll never have this kind of response. If we do not come to God with a humble and contrite spirit, recognizing that I can't offer anything to my own salvation, I need His grace. In and of myself, I am wretched, I am filthy, I am a sinner. I'm hell-bound and I rightly deserve eternal justice. But thanks be to God that He has saved me. And automatically, we are put in a low position and God has put in an elevated and exalted position. And from that point on, we need to pursue the knowledge of God as it is revealed in Scriptures. Look again at the first two verses. Look at Paul's view of God. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much to unpack there. He's talking about the Lord, the Great One, the Exalted One, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This term, Lord, when referring to Jesus Christ, is really a display of Christ's deity, calling Him Lord over here. The Father of mercies, God of all comfort. He knew His God, in other words. He knew His God and He trusted in God. And that was revealed during times of difficulties and hardship. Now, I know that not everybody here is facing the same kind of difficulties that the Apostle Paul faced. I'm sure the majority of you have not been beaten because of preaching the gospel. I'm assuming many of you have not spent any time out in the deep, in the ocean or any kind of river, stranded while you're out trying to take the gospel to someone. I know that it might seem like there's a bit of a distance between you and the Apostle. And, well, there is. And none of you are apostles, I'm sorry to tell you. There is a bit of a difference, but we are all living in this fallen world. We are all facing suffering, difficulties, trials, temptations on a daily basis. How do you respond to those difficulties? Whether you're just in a rut in your life that you just don't like. Maybe there's a family member that you're living with who gives you a difficult time every day. In fact, maybe you don't even want to go home at the end of the day. Because you know you're going to have to encounter this person who's just going to be on your case. Maybe you've got colleagues that you really just don't like. Tired of just coming to the office or going to your workplace and seeing these people. These are common things we go through. Maybe there's a physical infirmity, a sickness that you're going through or family members going through. What is your response to that? You're finding comfort in Christ. Are you looking for ways that God is trying to teach you through these difficulties? Are you using these things as opportunities to rejoice in the Lord who gives us comfort? Are you asking others to pray as the Apostle Paul did at the end of our text? Pray with me. Pray. Ask the Lord to help me so that others may glorify Him when He helps me. Are you desiring that God uses your difficulties, your sufferings, your trials, your temptations to bring for Himself more glory? Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we thank You for this new day and we thank You for the richness that we find in Scripture. Father, I'm sure that every single one of us faces difficulty on a different level. Lord, I pray that You would use these things to make us more like Christ. Oh Lord, during times of trouble and hardship, I pray that we would reflect upon You, the God of all mercy, the God of comfort. Jesus Christ, who suffered in this brutal and difficult world and is the one who gives us comfort as well. I pray, Lord, that in all circumstances we would learn to praise and honor and trust in You, the God who raises the dead. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we worship You, for You are our great King, our God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, who spoke all things into existence, the one who justifies sinful man, the one who intercedes for stumbling Christians, You are the God who needs no one and no thing, and yet you are the God who lives with and dwells amongst His people. Lord, help us to reflect on your wonderful, your beautiful, your awesome divine attributes, and to rejoice in you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.